This is Mark Strassman, reporter with MIMO World. We're about to speak to Dave Borison, who is the Director of Product Management at Ergo Networks. Welcome to MIMO World.
Thank you. Thanks.
Nice to talk to you. Like Hewlett-Packard, Sun Microsystems, Yahoo, and Google, Ergo got its start in Stanford University Labs. What's Ergo's origin story?
It's a very similar story. So we, we're a pioneer and leader in the MIMO space. We were also founded by some of the PhD students out of Stanford University.
Right.
Dr. Greg Rowley, our CEO, and Dr. VK Jones actually did their PhD theses on MIMO OFDM technology.
And about when were they doing that?
They wrote their thesis back in the mid-1990s.
Okay.
So about 10 years ago.
All right. And tell us about Greg Rowley, who you just mentioned, who's now the president and CEO at Ergo.
Yeah, Dr. Rowley is he's an accomplished business person and technologist.
Just a little louder.
Sure. Dr. Rowley is an accomplished business person as well as a technologist.
Right.
In addition to, being able to get into the depth of MIMO OFDM technology, he in fact founded a company with Dr. Jones prior to Ergo called Clarity Networks, which was later sold and integrated into Cisco Systems.
Right. What was Clarity's main product or claim to fame?
Similar technology, also wireless. They were focused a bit more on outdoor wireless
right.
technology, backhaul, point-to-point technology. And rather than MIMO OFDM, that technology was more kind of beamforming technology, so smart antenna technology
right.
To focus beams at for point-to-point.
So it used a lot of the knowledge of OFDM, but it was kind of in a different with a different focus.
Yeah, it was smart antenna technology.
Right.
And so it extended that and applied the fundamentals of smart antenna technology to MIMO OFDM.
Okay. And what how did the transition from academia to the corporate milieu take place?
Yeah, so actually, Dr. Rowley was working as an engineer. He worked in several companies prior to going back to Stanford for
right.
a PhD. So he actually had had a solid grounding.
Right. So he had his business sense. Then he went back and made the discoveries he was going to commercialize as a
exactly.
graduate student.
Exactly. And
okay.
Then back into sort of startup mode with Clarity originally, sold that to Cisco.
Right.
And then founded Ergo Networks.
And when was that?
So this company was founded in early 2001.
Okay.
About 4 years ago.
Okay. What's your as director of product management? What are your responsibilities there?
This is classic product management here. We focus in product management on product strategy, features and functionality. We spend a lot of time with customers pitching our solutions,
right.
Soliciting feedback. We work on the pricing, positioning our products with press and analysts. Customers, white papers, and so forth.
And talking to the media.
There you go.
Okay, let's focus on the technology that's at the center of all of this. It's MIMO. It's multiple input, multiple output, and it's a form of Wi-Fi that uses multiple and, as you've said, smart antennas.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what OFDM, orthogonal frequency division multiplex, is and how that relates to MIMO.
Yeah, so there are many cornerstones, many building blocks here for the technology we have. The first building block is, standard Wi-Fi technology. Our products are standard, Wi-Fi certified 802.11a, b, g products.
Right.
Completely interoperable with the products that are out on the market today, a, b, g.
Right. Meaning if you just put some of your MIMO equipment in, it's going to improve everything, but you don't have to put everything into MIMO.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
If we're on both ends of the link, it's amazing.
Right.
But if we're even on just one end of the link,
right.
With third party, standard ABG product,
right.
That we'll see about 20% to 30% range and throughput performance advantage.
And let's skip ahead. How much performance improvement are you going to get with MIMO at both ends?
So if we're on both ends with our the currently shipping products, they're at least three, and in some cases as much as eight times faster
okay.
Than existing products.
I think we're going to talk about that more, but now
sure.
go back to OFDM and how it relates to MIMO.
One of the building blocks is standard 802.11 ABG. OFDM is a modulation technique
right.
that's used in standard AG product. So this is, you can almost think of it as a way to code, the data onto the wireless waveforms.
Right, it's right.
What MIMO OFDM does is it's a technology that allows you to stream two or more paths of data on the same channel at the same time.
Okay, explain so that intelligent laypersons can understand it, how that's done.
Yeah, so at the high highest level, data comes into our product.
Right.
And in the digital signal processor and the baseband, that data is cut in half.
Okay.
Half of it is sent on one radio.
Is it cut in half? How close together are the cuts? Is it every other bit or what?
Yeah, I mean, it varies. It depends on the type of data.
Right.
But roughly, it'll do is it'll send, you know, half of the data on one radio.
Right.
And half of the data on a second radio.
Okay.
And each of those radios transmits, you know, full-blown 54 megabit per second streams,
right,
standard ABG streams. But what's different about MIMO technology is that they're transmitting two of these streams or more,
right,
on the same channel at the same time. So now you've got this jumble of data kind of all mixed together on the network,
right,
on the air at the same time. On the receive side, you then have three radios that collect all this data out of the air, this big kind of mess of data,
right,
and send that back down to the baseband processor. Our digital signal processor,
right,
where that jumble of data is processed, and we pull those two streams of data out of the channel.
Good. That was a pretty clear explanation. Yeah. Do advanced forms of mathematics, including matrix algebra,
exactly,
figure into this?
They do. They do. That's exactly. You can think of it in, you know, from a mathematical term, a very complex, you know, linear equation.
Okay.
Is essentially what we're doing. So we're sending in multiple streams of data,
right,
and they kind of bounce all over the place. We collect, you know, whatever data points we can,
right,
and then we solve for those unknowns.
Okay, let's talk about that bouncing around, or otherwise known as multipath interference.
That's right.
What is multipath interference? Why does it cause, in the pre-MIMO world, why does it cause trouble, and how does MIMO turn this liability into a resource?
Yeah. So in, you know, conventional radio technology, you know, the goal, you know, with the original radio designs by Marconi, you know, 100
right,
years ago, they were designed to try to accommodate for multipath. So what would happen is, you know, if in the perfect world, you transmit line of sight from one radio to another,
right,
the signal would get to that receiver, and you'd, you know, be able to process that signal.
It's kind of like the RKO logo. You've got, if you had two towers and they've got radio transmitters and receivers on both of them, and they're way high up and there's nothing between them except ether.
Absolutely.
There'd be no multipath interference there.
Exactly.
But if you're in an alley or a downtown street or wherever, mm-hmm, some of the signals are going to get where they're going sooner than others.
That's right. And so the signals will kind of bounce all over the place, and when they arrive at the receiver, they're going to arrive at different times because they've sort of bounced all over the place. And in conventional radios, they get confused by that, and they kind of say, I can't handle this. This is just noise. And there's a concept. It's called a metric called delay spread.
Right.
And so conventional radio designers will try to accommodate delay spread. But in general, they, you know, sort of they can't handle more than a few hundred milliseconds of delay spread.
Okay.
What MIMO technology does is it uses this multipath kind of like a judo move, and it says we've got this situation happening, you know, in the real world where radio signals will bounce all over the walls in my home or my business, and I'm going to try to take advantage of that. And back to your comment about linear equations, what it does is it says, all right, I at the radio, I'm going to just collect all this information out of the air.
Right.
And I'm going to process it, you know, as if it was a linear equation in my baseband, a very complex linear equation.
Right.
And try to pull this data out of the air and rely on the fact that there is multipath. This is a complete paradigm shift.
So in fact, it's going to make up with extra processing power at the receiving end, mm-hmm, the ability to take what would otherwise be junk and see the pattern in it,
and
turn it into intelligible, useful information.
That's right. And if you're clever about the way your baseband processor works, it actually won't even take a whole lot more processing power.
Oh, okay.
Which is why, you know, so today, you know, if you look at our card bus cards, for example, on the market today, they have two transmitters and three receivers.
Right.
And in the same power budget, you know, of a laptop,
right,
we're able to have two transmitters and three receivers where competitors can only have one transmitter.
Because you've got better algorithms to understand the data when it comes in.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons.
Okay.
That's right.
This approach that we're mainly going to talk about, of course, is for Wi-Fi,
mm-hmm,
but maybe you could talk about whether the same solution to multipath interference has applications for WiMAX, and also, I'm not sure whether this is exactly relevant, for EVDO as well as Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so this technology really is being applied today in the Wi-Fi market,
right,
local wireless LAN networking. That said, however, it is applicable to many other markets, including, you know, video distribution, cellular wireless communication. You could use it for outdoor, you know, potentially in certain environments where there is some multipath in cities, for example, for emergency services applications.
Right. What would you say the relative emphasis at Ergo is between perfecting the Wi-Fi experience and moving into WiMAX or other longer range technologies?
Yeah, I mean, so our fundamental, you know, the technology that we, you know, have brought to market is MIMO OFDM.
Right.
You know, today's implementation, you know, where we're generating lots of revenue and growing, increasing revenue, is in the wireless LAN market because it's a big market.
Right.
That said, it is most definitely, you know, applicable to some of these future markets, and, you know, we certainly don't see any reason why we can't, you know, enter those markets.
Because it's the same problem, and you have a general solution for it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let's move on over a little bit.
The interesting thing is it's a very, very tough problem. Very
right.
Challenging to implement. So
right.
The fact that we've been able to implement it, you know, and have two generations of shipping product today, and, you know, sort of moving forward, our expectation is we'll be able to apply this technique to other markets as well.
Presumably, you have patents on all of these technologies.
The company has 26 patents pending to date.
Right.
And they're very valuable in the implementation of MIMO OFDM technology.
Right.
It can be generalized.
Right.
So, you know, our expectation is that competitors will eventually have MIMO OFDM solutions.
Right.
In fact, this technology is the foundation for all of the proposals for 802.11n.
Right.
On the market today. So we expect people will implement MIMO OFDM solutions. We're just pretty confident that we'll be able to do it better based on some of the patented techniques we have.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more on the business side now that we pretty much explained the technology.
Sure.
What exactly is Ergo's role in MIMO, in the MIMO ecology? What do you make, who do you work with to get products out to users?
Yeah, so we're a fabless semiconductor company. We also focus a lot of our energy on board level reference design solutions, turnkey software.
So essentially you make chips.
We make chipsets. So we're really a technology provider. Where we make our money is in the chipsets.
Right.
So we sell these chips. We also provide, you know, the complementary technology like boards, you know, card bus cards,
right,
access points and all the software.
Tell the listeners what a reference design is and how that functions in the system.
Yeah. So a reference design would be a board that you build your chipsets and software on top of.
Right.
And then that board level solution is turned into, you know, a commercially available card bus card or access point or, you know, USB card.
Okay. So now the chipset that you mainly use is called TrueMIMO. And who are the, I guess they're OEMs, or who are the manufacturers who employ that in their systems now?
Yeah, we have a wide range of customers. Most of them, you know, the early adopters are primarily retail accounts, and we've been very focused on the large, you know, large accounts that have large market share. Companies like Linksys, for
right.
example, is a division of Cisco, Netgear, Belkin here in the United States.
Right.
In Japan, we're working with Buffalo, the largest retailer in Japan.
Right.
So those are some of the retail accounts. We also have enterprise customers. In Japan, there's a company called Planex Communications that targets our products in the enterprise segment. Similarly, here in the United States, a company called SohoWare also targets our products at small and medium business.
I've done two interviews with Ashok Kumar there about their systems that use
Great.
Your TrueMIMO.
Great. Well, I hopefully he gives you a good positive
feedback. He did. He did. He was very happy
Fantastic.
With it. Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Okay.
The two other segments that we are focused on, so we talked about retail, enterprise.
Right.
The other two big market segments are PC OEMs.
Right.
So we're very heavily focused on PC OEMs, and we're looking forward to actually having our first laptop shipped with TrueMIMO technology embedded within the next month or so. And also consumer electronics. They're generally longer lead time designs, but there's a lot of interest in using this technology in televisions. In fact, actually, one of our existing customers that's launched products already is a company called SmartView, and they're using our technology in closed-circuit video solutions, so security systems using MIMO technology to connect to essentially Ethernet networks.
Okay. In what way is MIMO properly called, or your TrueMIMO properly called pre-N? And what's up with the alternative standards now under discussion for 802.11n?
Okay. So there are there way back when there were 34 proposals for the 802.11n standard.
Is way back when 2002 or something?
Yeah, within the last couple of years.
Right.
At this point, we're down to two standards.
Right. What are they called?
One is called TGN Sync.
Right.
And the other is called WWISE.
All right.
And both of these proposals incorporate MIMO OFDM technology as implemented in the Ergo solution.
Right.
So fundamentally, at its heart, 802.11n is MIMO OFDM.
Right.
The whole goal of achieving much higher throughput is, as I described earlier, being able to send multiple streams of data on the same channel at the same time.
Now they're similar in that. How do the two standards differ in terms of what they specify?
Yeah, so the differences at this point are fairly minute. Some of the MAC, the quality of service mechanisms, for example, are a little different.
Right.
One of the differences is, do you use 20 megahertz channels or 40 megahertz channels?
Right.
Another difference would be, is there some kind of closed-loop feedback mechanism, between clients and access points?
Okay, so those are some of the technical differences. Who's lined up on the two sides right now, if you could say it that way?
Yeah, I think that, on the TGN Sync side, it's actually a fairly large group of people. A lot of them are research organizations within large companies whose business it is to create intellectual property and to try to generate revenue from it.
Right.
So in TGN Sync, there are some semiconductor companies, but a lot of the other companies there are really just trying to insert IP into the standard so that they can recognize some royalty revenue in the future. Whereas in the WY side, it's a much more pragmatic group. The standard is very, very streamlined, and it includes companies like Ergo, Broadcom, Nokia. In fact, I think this morning, it was actually another one of the cellular manufacturers. I think it was. It was Motorola.
Motorola.
Motorola joined our group a couple of weeks ago, and actually as of this morning, I think there was a press release announcing that Nokia would join as well.
Okay, go ahead.
So it's a nice mix. It's a mix of semiconductor companies focused on wireless LAN, cellular companies like the Motorolas and the Nokias of the world, but it's a much more pragmatic approach to really trying to rapidly bring the benefits of MIMO OFDM technology to the market quickly rather than trying to encumber the standard with lots of optional modes that many companies want to insert so
right.
they can generate royalties.
Right. Speaking of the timing, who's in charge of deciding which standard or what compromise is going to be used, and what's the timetable for that?
Yeah, it's there isn't a decision maker.
Right.
And generally, with standards like this, kind of the market leaders, in these technologies will be involved with kind of negotiating, how the standard will be defined.
Right.
So in the WY side, Ergo is out in the front there with other companies like Conexant and Broadcom and Buffalo.
To what extent are I would say facts on the ground, facts in the air, are important there? In other words, if a lot of your chipsets in Belkin and Linksys and SohoWare and so on are out there, is that going to strongly point in the direction of that becoming the standard?
Yeah, I think it will definitely help. I think the fact that that these products are out there and growing in large volume does, to some extent, create facts on the air, as you termed it.
Right.
That said, some of our competitors on the other side of the fence, they obviously, we've taken them by surprise. I mean, we've shifted the name of the game here.
Right.
We're taking market share very rapidly from them. So
right.
there's a vested interest on the other side to kind of try to stall the proposal or change the way the standard comes out
right.
To their favor.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see what happens.
Yeah, and I think realistically, it's going to be a fairly long process. We'll probably see the first draft of the standard out at some point this summer, and it will probably be ratified sometime in 2007, and interoperability testing, you know, with the Wi-Fi lines will probably happen in, you know, the first half of 2007.
But but as things are now, you've got the you've got MIMO in the true MIMO chipset.
Yeah.
People can use it now.
Absolutely.
And every person who buys one is essentially one more grain of rice saying that that's going to be sort of a vote for your side of the aisle.
To some extent, I mean, to tell you the truth, though, you know, regardless of whether this, you know, regardless of whether, you know, in 2 years, you know, what you call 802.11n,
right,
you know, when it's the standard is ratified,
right,
is interop testing, to some extent it's irrelevant, because today what consumers want is faster throughput, you know, better range, more reliable coverage, and that's what true MIMO solutions today offer. I mean, you know, to some extent these are just standard 802.11abg products enhanced with MIMO technology, so
right,
that if we're on both ends of the link, you get unbelievable throughput and performance and range. If we're even on just one side of the link, there's still a good 20% to 30%, or in some cases more, of benefit.
So in fact, it's Wi-Fi on steroids.
Exactly. That's
okay.
Exactly what it is.
Let's talk just a little bit about the company. Although if it's privately held, there won't be much to say. Is it privately held?
It is privately held.
Okay. So anything you can or want to say about the number of employees and the revenues and what's going on in that area?
Yeah.
You want to?
Yeah. So we were founded back in early 2001. With, you know, some of the key leaders in the original from a technology perspective, the key technology leaders. We're headquartered here in Palo Alto, but we are sort of a worldwide company with offices in Tokyo, servicing our Japanese customers, in Taipei, working with some of the ODMs in Taiwan. We also have design centers in Amsterdam and in Phoenix.
Where do you do your manufacturing?
The most of the chips are they're manufactured. We're fabless, so we use foundries, companies like TSMC and IBM, those types of companies.
So you send them the specs and they make the chips?
That's exactly it.
Okay. Just one or two more things here. Talk about the advantages in a residence, in the enterprise, and in small business, mm-hmm, to upgrade to a MIMO Wi-Fi,
sure,
environment.
Sure. So I think there are a number of advantages. So let's talk about throughput first. So if you're in a business setting, keep in mind that wireless today is a shared media. So let's say you've got 10 megabits per second of actual throughput available.
Right.
If you've got 10 users, each of them only gets 1 megabit per second of throughput. So in a business setting where you want to make sure that people get the right amount of throughput to get their data across, the higher the throughput capacity of the wireless network, the more throughput per user you're going to get.
Right.
The big advantage in the enterprise segment, just for, you know, plain old vanilla data, you know, centric networking technology. In the home, the big advantages are it allows you to do sort of the next generation of wireless technology, video distribution throughout the home, audio distribution throughout the home, sort of hybrid networks of with a mix of video, data, and audio. All
right. So this is going to mean in the residence, mm-hmm, where people get their input from satellite, from cable, from DSL,
mm-hmm,
from any number of other technologies, they can then distribute that video throughout the house to laptops and presumably to set-top box type of arrangements for big screens?
Digital televisions, absolutely. And with the capacity, with the throughput available with a true MIMO solution, you could literally stream, you know, one or more HDTV streams, you know, flawlessly throughout a home.
Okay.
You can have wired quality video on a wireless network.
Okay, what about, go ahead.
And that's just simply not possible with 11ABG.
Right.
You just simply can't do that.
What about mobile applications? For example, there's a bus that's called the Cyber Shuttle that runs at UCSD,
mm-hmm,
that takes EVDO signals off the air,
mm-hmm,
and has a Wi-Fi transponder in the bus,
mm-hmm,
and then puts the Wi-Fi into the bus. Okay. Obviously, you could use a true MIMO-based Wi-Fi transponder in that situation too, couldn't you?
Most definitely. You could use it in any, that's sort of a specific application of a hotspot where it's a mobile hotspot, but most definitely. You could apply this in planes, in trains, in buses, certainly in the McDonald's and sort of traditional kind of hotspots you have today and you know, hospitality types of hotspots.
Right, okay.
But absolutely.
Tell us how extensively you use MIMO at Ergo.
We use it throughout the company. We're wireless. In fact, I never connect my laptop to the wired network.
Right. How about in your own residence?
Absolutely. I'm hooked on wireless.
All right, or unhooked, as the case may be.
Or unhooked. That's right.
I want to thank you very much for talking to us today.
My pleasure.
And we'll look forward to talking about this more as the products roll out and more things happen in terms of establishing the standards and more people get more throughput faster in more places.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.